In this week, on the 7th of April 2010, a 5-0 defeat at York City ended the Dons' outside hopes of securing a Blue Square Premier playoff spot. After losing to Stevenage on Monday and here tonight, we can't hide the fact that we could not physically cope at the back, manager Terry Brown said. After two thumpings, my job is to keep the players' heads up. We may have to adapt to a more negative formation for the Mansfield game, as our present cavalier approach is leading us to conceding too many goals. Does this sound familiar? We're the same old Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth. If we win or we lose, we just go.
Hello, hello, dear listener, and welcome to the show. We are here to try and lift your spirits and talk positively after what has been, you know, a really bad Easter break for the Dons. Anyhow, I'm Matt Cooper, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Mon Frere, the football fixer, Niall Cooper. Hello, Niall. How are you doing?
Hi, Matty.
That well. He's doing that well. And of course, our man with the buttons, the producer, Dr. Adam Proctor. Hi, Adam. How are you?
Well, the sun's still shining, so I'm kind of trying to just enjoy that.
Yeah. That's right. We decided to do this podcast in the middle of the day on the sunniest day of the year so far. This is what we're like. We're martyrs to the cause. And finally, the face of the opponent's podcasts, the Welsh Dragon himself. Mr. Tall Mark Lewis. Hey, mate, how you doing?
About as well as everyone else. The anecdote, I think, which will sum up exactly how I felt about yesterday's game was I spent the first 5 minutes of second half yesterday writing an email, genuinely writing an email while I was at the game. and while I was doing it, I was like, what am I doing? And then I thought, well, there's nothing else to distract me, is there?
I mean, it was just the whole weekend has been so depressing. But I think it came to a head on Monday with the Luton match. I could go back and talk Lincoln. I mean, yeah, again.
Can I start with the question?
Yeah, of course. Please do.
Because you and I and Niall went to Gillingham away last Easter Monday. So, quite apart from the fact that. Clearly, we just don't agree with playing over Easter.
No.
Was Gillingham away last Easter Monday worse than yesterday? Or in fact, was any game that any of us have ever seen Wimbledon play in professionally in the recent era worse than yesterday's game?
Gillingham away was worse, definitely, because I got to a point yesterday where you kind of just go like, this is just beyond ridiculous. I mean, I'm going to do my definition of the game. I actually thought for the first 10, 15 minutes, we were all right. We created a few things. We looked a bit lively. We were doing not too bad. They scored. I think it wasn't particularly fair. Mo Mark disagrees. And then our entire back line decided to get injured. And then I knew we were completely screwed. Because when you talk about Bauer and Lewis both going off, and then Hutchinson, who, let's just remember about Hutchinson, hasn't played like any length of time since he had a heart attack. So we're talking about, right, really, and he looked well off the pace. You know, I mean, I loved Hutchinson before he had his heart attack. I thought he was quite a cool player to have in the team. But yesterday, I think he would have struggled to get into a team in the Ryman League. Right. I mean,
well,
he just looked,
that's
well,
harsh.
That's
harsh.
A bit, that is very harsh. That's
I
very
mean,
harsh.
I
mean, I thought that he
I mean,
came
like, he
on
was way, way off the pace because there was a couple of times where their players were running at him and he was just like backing off constantly. You know, he was just
I genuinely don't think, sorry to interrupt, I genuinely don't think he looked any worse than any of our other defenders yesterday, which in itself is a damning indictment.
I don't think
everybody else was injured. Right.
I don't think he played. I don't think he was. I don't think he was. I don't think he was so He was so bad. But I mean, as JJ said in the interview afterwards, he'd have only really given, he was only building him up. He could have done 30 minutes at the most, but he was given an hour. And he's, and I thought when he first came on, it was fine. But what he was doing is he, the only way he could play was to sit back. He couldn't come forwards because he wasn't going to be able to get back. So it meant that our back line was going to have to drop back. So it became very stretched because usually we're a little bit higher up the pitch, but we had to drop back,
There
and that
was
was
no
the problem.
energy. We can't drop
There
back
was
when we're
no
like
energy, you
literally in
think?
the
That's what I'm talking
stand.
about.
I mean,
There was no energy. No energy. So it's
but it
like.
was, yeah. I mean, it was, no, it was, I mean, I think at some point he just felt it was unfair. Like, just call it. Do you know what I mean? Let's just call it. Because when Bauer goes off, you go, okay, who do you bring on? We bring on a Semenyo, and you kind of, you can shift it around. That kind of works to a degree. But when Lewis comes off, and the trouble with Lewis, if you look at that, he's lost the ball. The ball's run away from him, and he's tried to win it back. He goes in for a tackle. I thought he won the ball, and yet he gets a yellow
Does
card.
anyone think that he would have been booked if the Luton player hadn't yelped and rolled over three times?
No,
No, I mean,
no.
I didn't think. I didn't even
You
think it
con the
was a.
ref.
I didn't even think it was a free kick, to be honest with you. They're a deeply unpleasant team. So it was one of those that, and it just everything went wrong. And then you add on top of the fact that we had a it was it the Peterborough game? Again, we lost three players. We now seem to have lost eight players recently. And these aren't just eight fringe players. These are arguably eight, probably if you take Bauer out of it, at least seven who walk straight into the first team. They are our first team players, and so now we're kind of decimated, and we've got no idea really about how long anyone is going to be out for. So we don't know if we're going to be seeing, we certainly won't be seeing Stevens again this season. Don't know about Tilly. Don't know about Brown. I mean, it looks like Hippolyte might be back and Nelson, but really our problems are going to be in defence if we haven't got. If Johnson and Lewis aren't available,
If we haven't got any
and
defenders, we're going
or
to have a
Bauer,
problem.
if we haven't got any of those three for the next game, then I have. I mean, like, Oggs cannot defend on his own. I mean, like, what do you do in that situation?
Don't know. We need to hope that Johnson, our hope has to be Johnson and Hippolyte are both back. Right. That's got to be, we need those two because that was obvious. I think we'll. Even with those two, we're in trouble a little bit. I start seem to remember that Sasu was like, got to Sasu coming to some weird wing back and said and go in the middle. I don't know. I mean, it's just like, there is just not, it's very bleak, isn't it? And we're in the right end of the season and we're on a run of four consecutive defeats. And it doesn't feel very good at all. I mean, like Mark, the one thing I can say is that I remember walking out of Gillingham and feeling lower than I did coming out of Luton because halfway through the game, it was like, you're actually not. At 25 minutes, it was like, oh, just came to just fuck off as far as I was concerned after 25 minutes yesterday, whatever it was. When we lost it to the, when Bauer and when Lewis had gone off, it was like, this is just a joke, right? So I'd given up on that. Gillingham was like, we were just dire,
And
dire.
it felt like it felt like we'd thrown away our chance.
For the
That's what it felt
playoffs,
like.
yeah,
Yeah, it
this was
felt
it.
like we'd thrown away our chance. So that was
But
the big thing.
my thing about yesterday, that's why I asked the question, is I don't remember a game like that during the season when there was still something to play for, where it was obvious to everybody relatively early on, even before the injuries, actually. Because, as I say, I'd have to disagree with Niall that, that they scored their third really good chance, and that was what, after about 12 minutes. So even then, it was like, what are we doing? And at that point, I'm thinking, we're just not on it at all. And then the injuries obviously compounded everything. And it then appeared that even Luton, who obviously have a cup final to play for, weren't particularly bothered. It was only because Ali hadn't played all season that he actually was bothered about it. And you can see in his celebration when he scored the goal that he was venting some frustration there. But really, I don't remember going to a game like that that felt like a preseason friendly during the actual season itself, ever.
And that's what it felt like. But I mean, my sense was, Mark, genuinely, I thought we were okay in the first 10 minutes. I didn't. I felt that their goal was against the run of play. That was how it felt to me, because we'd certainly had a lot of attacks, forced a corner after like, and a decent attempt after within a minute. So we'd done okay up until that point. And I think if we have all those players, if we had those players on the pitch, it wouldn't have been as bad as it is, as it was.
Agreed.
And certainly then, if you look at, I mean, what have we got? Bauer, Johnson, Tilly, Hippolyte, Stevens, Hackford, Bugle, Brown. And I think I might even be missing someone. It's
Are you talking about injured players?
those are injured players.
See,
Absolutely.
Hackford's not actually injured, but unfortunately, and I don't want to pick on one individual player, he played like he was.
Yeah.
Sadly, to the point where my daughter, who's back from uni for the summer and hasn't seen his play since Christmas, she said, basically, stop picking on him. It's like, I'm not picking on him, but when the ball's played into the penalty area for great chance and he literally falls over, what turned out to be our best chance of the whole game. Every time the ball went anywhere near him, he either fell over because he had his own individual part of the pitch that he was carrying around with him that he seemed to. Be like Bambi on ice, or he just didn't want the ball or didn't expect to get the ball. Now, when we play five a side next weekend in the Wish against Woper annual five a side game, that would be like me. I understand that, but that's because I'm a mid 50-year-old, slightly overweight bloke, not a professional footballer.
On saying that, you probably would have done a better job than some of no, whatever. That's harsh.
That's almost as harsh as asking why Adam, dear listener, is wearing a snood and a cricket jumper on the hottest day of the year.
Okay, Adam, that's fine. I mean, it's warm as well. I mean, can I bring up? I want to bring up another thing as well, because going into next season, Hackford, I believe, is on a 2 or 3 year deal. He's on a 2 year deal, so this is so he's going to be with us. Foyer is on a 2 year deal. Stevens just signed a 2 year deal. And so these are our strikers. We've got Bugle Brown at the moment. He's up there. Hackford, Sasu, Foyer, and Stevens. And yet, obviously, if Stevens is fit, he starts. I know Adam is going to go on about Bugle for forever, but do we have four decent strikers out of that? Who could, and I'm talking about poachers, goal scorers, because Stevens is really the only goal scorer. Brown is now getting into brilliant positions, but he was never been our number 10. So, Foyer, I always thought was going to be a replacement for Bugle at some point. Sass is more; he seems to be more of an end king. Is he a striker as such? Is he a fox in the box? So, are those? I mean, are we going to add to that? Are people going to leave from that six strikers?
I mean, the rumour was that Bugle had been told, and this is unsubstantiated, but Bugle had been told in the January transfer window that he wouldn't be getting a new contract. Now, that may be just financial, that not a lot of players won't necessarily be able to get the kind of contracts they want in terms of contracts that are up for renewal. The rumour was he was told that in January, so potentially he could look at other options but wanted to stay. And we know that. Adam's love of Omar aside, he is a great, honest player, and I felt really sorry for him yesterday because he'd gone down. And why it was obvious to us in the crowd and not obvious to the management that he should have come on, especially as at one point Stewart was stripped before they made that last substitution. I really don't understand that. But does he score enough goals? No. Is he lion-hearted? Absolutely. But we're playing in League One, and in League One, you need people like Marriott, you need people like even the lad that nipped in and got that last minute goal for Lincoln and so on. You need people who are going to score you 15 goals a season. Omar's not that. Omar's never been that, really. I think he might have scored 15 once for us, and that's once in his whole career. So I don't know what the finances are, but I would say yes, Stephen's first choice, yes, Brown potentially first choice. The others you mentioned, within the squad, but you need a first choice central target man centre forward. Who that could be, where we'd get him from, who knows? Because most of the players have been sort of pulled out rabbits out of hats and areas we've never known about. So who we can get in from next season? Is there somebody in non-league? I don't know. Is there somebody out of and we know we can't afford to, spend silly amounts of money, or probably even any amounts of money. So who's out of contract? Which is why obviously staying in League One is as crucial as anything, because then at the very least you are more appealing than, say, a Swindon or Gillingham for someone based in the southeast.
Yeah, and I think now you made a point yesterday. And listen, we love Craig Cope. But I think there is a thing about what players have come in the summer, last summer, and in January, who've made an impact in our squad who were not previous Wimbledon players. So you can't
Yeah, I mean,
include
it's like
Seddon
we've
and
got to Osinwe, didn't we? We've got to Osinwe and Hackford.
Assinway, Hackford, and Bishop would be the are the three players that have come in. But I mean, aside from Bishop, the others haven't started. So, you
McCoy
know.
Splatt would have come in at that time, but again, certainly, as you say, he hasn't started.
So it's not been great. I mean, and I my sense is that we this summer, I think there's going to be quite a major overhaul. I just get that feeling. I think there's quite a few players out of contract.
I mean, there's a whole bit about it, though, as well, Matt. It's like, depressingly, at the moment, we're still in a relegation battle, right in the middle of it. And we've got to find 3 points from somewhere. We've got a massive injury crisis. And, I honestly think if I'm Johnny, you're going to throw some players in that aren't fully fit because we've got no choice. We've got to pick up 3 points, and
We need 3 points from somewhere. That's
you
the
look
thing,
at
isn't it?
Burton away and go, right, well, Wigan away, going, we've got to find a way of getting points out of those two games. And it means if somebody isn't out of those players, the Hippolytes and the Johnsons, you might risk them because we need the points.
I think you have to sacrifice something. Obviously, we're not managers, we're just, armchair pundits. I would probably sacrifice the wedded belief he's got on 3-5-2. Because in very practical terms, if we play 4-4-2, for example, you could play Osinwe right back and Nkeng right wing, which is arguably the two correct positions for those two players. Then you can play Ogs and Ayenother left wing. Sorry, centre back, I'm talking centre back. Then you can play Seds left wing. Then you could probably play Sass left wing if you had to. Seddon behind Sasu. Then you've only got to find two strikers. Central midfield, you've got a choice of probably, we've probably got more riches in midfield than we can think of. So actually, you could probably even play Nelson left midfield, Smith and Maycock central midfield. So there's a midfielder, right? And Kane doesn't have to worry about having to defend. And then possibly even five in midfield, which Luton did rather well yesterday, and we didn't combat at all. Hippolyte just in behind, I guess, Foyer.
No, I'm
I'm
with
just
you.
talking about resources now,
I kind of think we have to look at it. Given we haven't got enough fit centre backs, we have to think 4-4-2.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think though the missing bit of that puzzle is who's with Ogs. I mean, does Reeves drop in as a centre back? Do we can't play Hutchinson that whole time? But so hopefully one of Bauer, Lewis, or Johnson is fit, because otherwise I don't know who else we play at. We don't.
Well, the other wild card thing is we've got another 18-year-old in Riley Horan, who's in the same intake, I believe, as Jennings and King. And he's been playing for Walton and Hersham, which I meant to check before we came to record. I know, But
I
what else have
know.
we got? But he is a, I think he's a more like a Chris Perry centre back than a, than the Patrick Barrett type centre back. In other words, smaller but mobile. But he scored five or six goals. I want to say that they've just won the Ryman South, but I could be wrong. They might have just won the Ryman Premier.
Yeah, they
It's
have just won the
such a
Ryman South.
leap. It is a massive leap. You're
It's
quite right.
such a leap. It's such a leap. I mean, I think if anything, if it becomes this, then is there a free? Is there a free transfer? Is there someone who's, out of
Like
contract
with where we
that we
got
can
Brown
bring
and
in?
where we got Hutchinson from last year, is there somebody in that pool of people that might be around?
The only reason I mentioned Horan is he is our player. He would have been training with us. It's not much to go on, but.
I get you. I get you, but I just think it's such a leap. I mean, I think it would be more like Reeves, which would be in. Interesting, I guess, in a centre back. So, one can only hope that
Well,
we've
because
got
that
people that
when
are coming
you're
back.
trying to say Reeves and Ox, I mean, like, where's,
I know, no, but I
I'd
know
be
it's
playing
like
somebody 6 foot two without any problem against Ryan Hutchinson.
I'd rather in that respect, if that's what we were reduced to, I'd rather play Smith in there because I think
Smith's quite heavy.
physically, what
We were having this
resources have we
conversation
got?
yesterday. When's the last? How often does Smith head the ball?
Well,
Well, I mean, I
you're
did.
suggesting Reeves, and I'm not sure that's any better.
I wasn't suggesting Reeves.
Well, no, I mean, I think he's done it. I think he's played in defence before. I'm just saying, who do you do? I mean, whether someone like, I don't know, Foyo
Sass.
Bugle, is it someone like that? It's just, I don't know. I mean, it's such a challenging time. I mean, I was preparing this, and I know you find that kind of a bit weird, before yesterday's game, and I was talking about the injury crisis we had before yesterday, before Easter Monday,
Yeah.
and now it's just like,
It's
wow.
terrible. It's a nightmare. I mean, we're not going to hear much, are we? But we literally don't have a team at the moment, which is a nightmare.
And it
We've
would
just
be.
got to get to the we've got to get to the end of the season somehow. We need three
But
more
when
points. I think that will do us, but how the heck we get those, I have no idea.
that's the thing. I mean, like how you turn around and get those 3 points with unless I mean and I kind of I mean I would really like to know what the injury situation is with these players, but then someone posted up on socials, do we want to give the opposition the advantage of knowing who's about?
That we've got no team. They already know.
Well, no, but it might be that we have a few players back, and in which case,
True.
that's good for us and less good for the opposition. So, who
Yeah,
knows?
the BBC interview that Jackson did gave a little bit more daylight on those injury scenarios. The Lewis one looked really bad, but apparently he's just got a gash on his knee. Now, I don't know how deep a gash can be, and obviously you can presumably play with stitches with a bandage over them. I'm not sure. Never been a professional sports person, obviously. But that would be an option. Then you can play
Well, it depends how much your knee, like
Smith.
where it is on the knee, doesn't it? Because if you're moving your knee a lot, if the cut kept opening, then you'd be in real trouble. So I guess it just depends. Someone else said on one of them that he dislocated his knee, but I don't know whether that was
Yeah,
again
that was
just an
me,
injury.
because I'd heard that being talked about by people who normally are in the know.
Well, I heard as I walked out of the ground from somebody who thinks he's in the know, but he said he'd actually spoken to the physio. And then gave me the physio's name, so you'd think that's relatively kosher that it was a gash, and then that's what JJ mentioned. But again, we're probably not going to know. I would imagine they have today off, and then they've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in training, and then travel up probably Friday afternoon to Burton. The other great
So
thing
why are
about
we on the
Burton,
Wednesday for the Stockport game? Is that a blooming Sky?
That's because no, it's
no,
because
it's just.
Stockport are playing in the cup, aren't they playing in the
Oh,
EFL
correct.
Trophy?
Just in case we didn't feel any better about the Burton game, it's the Volunteers away day. And again, big shout out to all the different volunteers and different guys overall. However, the reason I mentioned it being Volunteers away day, apart from giving the praise they are due, is that the record of Wimbledon winning a game on the Volunteers away day is absolutely shocking. It's
so bad,
something
isn't it?
like one out
It's
of
so bad.
15. And I can't even
Every
remember
time
what
I
game
hear
it
it, it's,
was.
no, it cracks me up. Every time it's like the Volunteers away day, I'm like, oh, great. And then every time I'm like, oh, we lost. And it's like every game they go to, they never have any fun.
Well,
guys,
we did have some
but...
fun. I have been to Burton, and we did have some fun on the Volunteers away day when Darren Jones, if anyone ever remembers him, managed to score with a 20-yard pile driver in the last minute to snatch a one all draw. That's as far as we've got.
Okay.
You know?
Well, I'll take a. I mean, like, I'll take a, with this score.
Take point.
Who knows?
Need a point.
I mean, it's just. It's. I mean, it is. It's going to be tricky, but I think. Listen, we've got to get behind the team. And in actual fact, someone else said another point, and I was and I got to hold my hand up on this because I got to a point of just going, I just can't watch anymore. So I left about 10 minutes to go, I think, 5 or 10 minutes to go, which is,
you did.
I know,
was surprised.
I know is
I was
horrendous.
Surprised.
But I also had a banging headache, so I needed to get some headache tablets. I don't think the match had helped. So, but in fact, someone put up a point saying, well, you know, it's going to be tight. Goal difference might matter. So in actual fact, if we can be there for and make sure that they don't concede a fourth, or if we get one back, you know, goals are going to be as important as anything else, really, not conceding and scoring. So,
I mean, a lot of people did leave at 3-0. A lot of people did. Yeah. It was kind of I found it quite shocking the amount of people that actually got up and went. I know people get upset about this stuff, right? But I've never left a game early.
Yeah,
there's
a debate on that, and I've never done it since years and years ago. I was about to do it, and we were 1-0 down at Plough Lane, and we went 2-0 down in injury time, and I got as far as the top of the steps, and then we scored 2 in injury time and got a draw. And ever since then, I vowed I'd never leave.
Yeah.
But I mean, I judge it on, you know, sort of post match feelings. And yesterday, and I don't want to over dramatize things, but I remember driving back from Southampton from the Dell in that day in 2000. With some friends, and they lived in Red Hill. A late friend David and his wife Sarah, and we were going to go and have a Chinese at their place. And we drove back from Southampton to Red Hill. It's not that far, really. And literally, none of the four of us spoke at all in the whole car journey home. And the same thing happened last night with my wife and my daughter. But that was, you know, a much shorter journey, obviously, overall. But you know, when there's no one saying anything, that there's nothing to say. And my daughter's quite sharp and to the point in terms of her comments about things. And she said at one point, you know, you probably need to calm down, Dad, otherwise you might have a coronary, because she thought I was going to get so, you know, worked up heart rate wise. But even second half, I didn't even do that.
No.
And that says it all, really.
No. True. I mean, I think people are just, people got to a point where we just literally accepted our lot. We can't bang on it. We've not even touched on Lincoln, which we know was a bit unfair, and
it was very fucking unfair.
Yeah,
sorry,
I mean,
to swear.
Yeah, it really was. I mean,
that's the maddest. Like, that is the maddest. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a fan of VAR. I never want it. I don't ever want it. But oh my word, it was so obvious that he controlled the ball with his arm. How did the lino not even spot any of that? It's just insane.
Older list. Well, I think the reality is, if you watch games and highlights in League One and Two, which I know you guys don't, but if anyone who does will see that the referees position themselves well away from the action. So if a ball is flung into the box like that was, which is going to be in the last minute of a game when someone's pushing to try and get a winner, then they cannot see anything. It's like they're relying on VAR that they don't even know they know doesn't exist. It's utterly ludicrous. I mean, yeah. Matt was joking about me being the face of our other people's podcasts. I was on the Lincoln podcast. But the thing about the Lincoln podcast...
Not a joke,
is,
it's just a fact.
I've only done two, right? And you said it before, I was on the Lincoln guys one. Anyway, I was on the Lincoln guys one, and shout out to Jake Tung, because he does a very good podcast, to be fair. And he said that apparently I was the best guest all season. However, even he admitted, and he was delirious with happiness, and this is before they won yesterday to get promoted. And fair play to them, because they've obviously done the best thing. And I didn't think they were as good as Cardiff when we played them, but they beat us.
Oh, my
word. I know.
Not only is he showing our other podcast, he also mentioned the C word.
I know. But the point is, he admitted on the day we were as good as Lincoln and they did not deserve to beat us.
No.
And from an opposition fan, that's as fair as you can get, really.
I always think it's really good to be, you can really be magnanimous when you win a game. I think you could be the best fan in the world when you've won. Because, you guys were just so unlucky. It was so unfair. Oh, yeah, it's like, whatever. Anyhow, it was less. It was less the hand of God. It's he's not a god. He's just a very naughty boy. Is what it is. And it was good to see Lincoln diversifying into new sports. You know, netball, volleyball, bribing officials.
Yeah, Riley Taylor's going to go out there with Tom Jordan for listeners of an older age
Yeah.
from Eastleigh days of, I think that was Conference South, when he managed to score, I believe, with a similar hand with similar
Yeah.
volleyball style assist.
Dear me. Anyhow, and so just moving on slightly, I just think it was kind of the end of season awards have been announced, and they're going to be presented after the Plymouth game, which I thought was a bit weird, rather than have it at the end of season game.
What?
It is after the end, Huddersfield game at
Is
the end
it?
of season.
I'm sure I saw Plymouth.
Okay.
I'm sure I
Quickly
saw
checking this
Plymouth.
online, but
Okay.
I do not believe that you have that right.
Okay. All right then. But also, the other thing I noticed was
Mark, do some fact checking.
they've
I
done.
am fact checking right now.
They've done. They've put up the Goals of the Season awards, and I just thought again. I was
We need
thinking
more goals
that might
now.
be
It's
a bit early. That might be a bit. It might be a bit premature, but perhaps it isn't.
Oh, God,
Because
don't, Matt.
you know,
No.
it's like
Amazingly, Matt Cooper is correct. I have
Matt
no
Cooper is
idea why this
correct.
is the case,
They are, you
but
see.
this is the 2 days ago. Join us for the 25-26 end of season awards and vote for your winners. Blah, 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 blah. In true Wimbledon style, yeah, true Wimbledon style, do it at the wrong time. We'll be hosting our awards event in the 1889 Lounge, Toyota Record Stadium, after the men's fixture between Dons and Plymouth Argyle on Saturday, the 18th of April. I can only presume that they would have worked out or believed that we would all be safe and it really wouldn't matter by then.
Or there might be something. Huddersfield might be challenging, or there might be some who I don't know. Whatever it is, but it just seems a bit weird to me not to do it on the last game of the season and to do it against Plymouth, and
It's quite
also,
a well laid out page and lots of
yeah,
opportunities
I know.
online and everything
It
else.
just doesn't
So
feel.
unless for whatever reason somebody has just
I can
inserted Plymouth
imagine it
instead of
might be
Huddersfield.
that, like, if we were going to go down, right? Having on the last game of the season and we go down, nobody's going to hang around and it'll just be an absolutely horrible horror show. Or if there's something like it's up for, it's too much of a risk. That's why I reckon they've done it.
Well, it might be Huddersfield might be going for the playoff places, whatever. Anyhow,
You mean
it
as
feel
opposed to Plymouth going for the playoff places?
well,
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
exactly.
That's not the
I
same
know, but I guess it
difference.
was like, but on the last game of the season, it's a different sort of vibe, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's like all or nothing sort of thing. But I just felt it was kind of weird, and it was weird to do the goals of the season before, with 6 games left. So it just that feels weird to me. I mean, like. I mean, maybe we won't score another goal, and those are the best goals that we're going to get this season. And I've watched both the men's goals of the season and the women's goals of the season. If you want to see spectacular goals, watch the women's goals of the season because they are amazing from the first goal onwards. Every single goal is incredible. I think it's going to be difficult to pick a men's goal of the season. The other thing is obviously there's what they've done for the young players, for women's young player and for the men's young player, is they've got a selection. I mean, I think they're all the players that are eligible. And I think I'm right in saying this. I mean, I could be two for two, Mark. Could be right twice. I think they all have to be under 21 to be nominated for young player. Is
And
that
they
right?
have to have played 3 games.
Yeah.
Why?
So
Yeah. So in the case of the young player, for example, it's a Simway, Foyo, Hackford, Jennings,
Jennings.
McCoy, Splatt, Nelson, Inking, or Sassy. And you would imagine there's only one winner of that.
When do we have to vote by?
Relatively soon.
Zach Nelson, yeah.
Yeah, Jack Nelson, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. There's only one winner in that. But then what's quite interesting is for the women's and men's players, they've listed the whole squad. So you can vote for anyone in the team. And I think
Player of the year, yeah.
for player of the year.
Yeah, there's only
But
one. Sorry.
usually, sure. Yeah, I know there's only one for you, Adam. He's not going to get it, but you know, and no matter how many times you vote for him, but you know, like, listen, let's remember we had a really good, what was it, Feb? We've had some good times this season, and we were up near the top at the start of the season. So you know, it's tricky, and it doesn't help obviously with all the injuries. But if we look back over it, there's been some cracking performances, really, and some good players out there. And if I just go through you all and just sort of like maybe pick out your top three, Niall, who would be your top three for player of the season?
Brown, Johnson, go on. Dwelling on whether Maycock comes in as a surprise.
That is interesting. Mark,
Brown, Johnson, yeah, I'm just doing, yeah. Well, Enking.
I think you've missed out an obvious one. You'll say, when we get to this.
Oh,
Mark,
Tilly, Brown, Johnson, Tilly.
Okay, you gave him a choice of three and he's named five, and he still hasn't named the one that will win it, which is obviously Steve
Yeah, exactly.
Seddon.
Yeah, exactly. I
Stephen.
was gonna say. So who would you vote?
Seddon will win it, and Seddon probably should win it based on his indefatigable, if that's a real word, performances and his setup play and his ability to take a corner, which we really missed yesterday. I don't know what we were doing with corners yesterday.
By chance, he's just trying to
But
score.
yeah. Apparently so,
I think
but
he was trying to score from the
because actually
corner.
he's done
Two that
that
he
twice, hasn't
scored
he?
for Sutton were both curling efforts that went in the top corner, not the bottom
Right,
corner.
yeah.
But
Yeah,
anyway,
because there's one in
so
the end.
my three would be Johnson, Seddon, and I don't know whether you can. I mean, they don't have a kind of clubman of the year anymore, which is the sort of person that they give an award to when they can't think of any other reason to give them an award. But certainly, Oggs has been very consistent
Yeah,
overall.
that's a good. That's a good
Yeah, I mean,
shout.
Johnson kept getting man of the match in the middle of winter when you couldn't understand why he was giving man of the match. I thought it was unfair to give anyone man of the match yesterday, but Oggs won
Yeah.
it somehow. And fair play to the sponsors or whoever they put their hard-earned money in, so they can give it to whoever they want to. But
And
yeah, that
Adam.
would be my three: Oggs, Johnson, and Seddon. And the reason I wouldn't put Brown in there, just because there was so much of the season before he hit his purple patch where he just frustrated the hell out of me.
Okay. What about you, Adam? Because Adams is always a bit weird.
I'm going to say Enking, Asimwe, and Omar. Actually, is my favourite player. They're my favourite players. They've been just exciting and interesting. But I
Assimwe.
think,
Assimwe.
yeah. No, I like him.
You see, exactly. Dear listener, this is why we have Adam on. It's because
Adam, the
none of it
season
makes any
lasted about
sense.
9 months, not 2 months. If it had been
I mean.
like August and September, maybe. But since then, he's barely, I said he hasn't done very well yesterday. My wife said he's barely played. I said, yeah, the reason he's barely played is because he doesn't seem to have the fitness to last 90 minutes.
And Enking, I love Enking. He's going to be brilliant. I mean, he won't be playing with us next season, but he's going to be brilliant. But he's not played that many games, really, Adam. But anyhow, it's your
No,
choice,
but they're
mate.
just
It's
cool.
your
They're just
choice.
cool.
It's your
I
choice.
pick the cool people. That's what
It's
happens.
your choice.
And Keng started 14 games and come on
See,
as sub
that's
11
more than I thought he would have
times.
done, to be honest. That's quite cool.
It's probably like the last 14 games, to be fair. But
Yeah.
I mean, Johnson
Does that
clearly is
include
like,
EFL Trophy games?
yeah, they haven't
Yeah.
separated it out into,
Yeah.
whatever
So,
different
but
things.
mine would be Brown, Johnson, and Seddon. And I would, oh, maybe err towards Marcus Brown. I just think something's clicked in him, and he has been towards that time invaluable. I mean, just chasing down lost causes. That back heel that set up the goal, was incredible, and that's just imagination and perseverance. I just think he's been fantastic. So that would be for me. But talking of, and yet, so you've got
The
to vote,
sad thing
Mark.
about Player of the Year, of course, is that unless we give it to Johnson, who's under contract, then it's almost
Yeah,
inevitable, just
fifth
like it was
person.
last season with Nerfil, that person will then
They always go.
be leave next year
They
or leave
always
in the
go.
summer, sorry.
But so whenever we've got people to vote by, Mark, what do we know when the deadline is to vote?
I don't think it says, hang on.
We like doing this. We're all live, people. This is as it is, just checking out the facts. And of course, in terms of votes, we must remember, and I know we're all feeling a little bit down, but there is a very important confirmation vote happening this Wednesday. In actual fact, I think you've got to, if you haven't voted by online, you can't now. The only way to vote now would be in person at the SGM on Wednesday. We need all the votes in so that we can confirm we can go down to 50.01.
I can't see a deadline on here as to when you need to vote for. It doesn't say so.
There you are. That's about the awards, the end of season awards, rather than the confirmation vote, which we know it is this Wednesday, and there's an SGM this Wednesday as well. So hopefully that will pass through. Again, it's just about numbers, I guess, but I have my sense is that a lot of people, when they voted when the initial vote went out, they voted for all of the things at the same time. So hopefully we've got the numbers in place. So that's all good. But we're going to carry on with the voting theme, because I think the most important votes are the same old Wombles Awards, these very prestigious traditional annual awards, which have been going for a whole two seasons now, entering their third season. It's a tradition. No one wants to miss out on this. So we have got the we've got four awards. We've got the Harry Pell Award, which is kind of like the best football moment that isn't a goal on the pitch. So Harry Pell, he won it originally because he was on the pitch warming up against a team from Buckinghamshire. And no matter how much he tried, and he was definitely trying to hit the goal, he just kept missing the goal and hitting the away fans. It was very difficult for him.
I feel really sorry for him because it was just one of those things, wasn't it?
Yeah,
You know,
so
and
every time he tried
it's
to hit it,
not deliberate. It
no,
was
every
definitely
time he tried
deliberate.
to hit it was scuffing off his boot or his. It was. I felt for him, to be honest with you, in that warm up.
Anyone who's met Harry Pell knows exactly how untruthful that statement
That is
is.
complete. That's how it is. Poor, but I mean, we all felt for him. I mean, we felt there was something wrong with his foot, and he just kept trying and trying and trying, and he just couldn't get it
And
right.
I mean, credit to him, he did try to hit it harder every time just to
Yeah,
see
he tried to welly it.
if
He really
well
did, and he just,
he really
yeah.
hard, but just couldn't get the target
I
for some
know,
reason.
I know. It was a shame for him, but anyhow. So we were trying to, and dear listener, we really want your help on this. What's been the best? I know we're in a bad mood, but come on, people, let's think more broadly across the season. What's been the best on-field football moment that wasn't a goal? So, we've talked about Brown's back heel to, was it Smith or Maycock? Mark, you'll know.
Maycock,
Maycock, thank you.
against Northampton.
Thank you. So was it that? Matty Stevens' back heel goal? That was a fantastic goal. If for those who saw the goals of the season, if you watch the Nkeng goal and you watch his celebration after scoring against Orient, that was quite a cheeky little moment. So that could be in there as well. So we'll take celebrations as well in this. So if anyone could think of a really good, fun sort of footballing moment that wasn't a goal. Let us know, and it could be a winner. It could be a winner in this. Then we've got our next award, which is the Sorting Out Jackson Award. This is dedicated to the fan at the start of the season before last, where we were playing Colchester and we were two down, and then your man says sort out Jackson, and we ended up winning 4-2, I think that game was. So we don't know who that fan was, but thank you for giving us the name of this award, the Sort Out Jackson Award for best sub. And at the moment, I've got three. So I've got Nkeng. His first league appearance was against Exeter on the 9th of December 2025. Now, it was only 5 minutes, but I think even in that 5 minutes, people were excited to see his potential. So I think that was quite an exciting moment, because we then got to see what Nkeng was doing. And now he started for us. And it's been, I think, yesterday I felt sorry for him, because I just think he just looks amazing when he gets the ball and does his thing. But there was no one who was on his wavelength. The second one would be Hapford. He came off the bench and scored the second goal in our win against Barnsley. And then the other one, could it be two seasons in a row for Callum Maycock, who came off the bench and scored the 88th minute winner against Port Vale? So those are our Sort It Out Jackson awards so far. Then we've got the Who Ate All the Pie awards for our best food outlet. Was obviously named after Pie Place, which has now left us. And I think we're going to go for the old staples here. So that is the Naked Chips, Souvlaki, the Greek wrap place, which is brilliant, and the Dough Shack, and then the Argentinian Steakhouse. Those are the four people that have been with us for the last few seasons, and I think they seem to be kind of our go-to ones. So I reckon that it's one of those four that's going to win our best food outlet. So please let us know which is your favourite. And then it's our club person of the year. And I think there's a few people in here, but again, I think listener, if you've got someone who you think has been gone under the radar, then let us know. I think we're looking at Angus Fox, the chair of the DTB, has been guiding the club for a very difficult time. Then I've got Ray and Sharon Armfield, who do amazing work for Wish. They to like dedicate their time to the Dons. They've done absolute brilliant work. And then Mikey T, the commentating guru. He's been there for forever. He's been absolutely fantastic. And chaps, if you've got any ones to add to any of these awards or Club Person of the Year awards, any other people you think we should be sounding out?
I mean, I haven't, but you guys will know more people than me. I mean, obviously not the DJ outside the pub. We've agreed that that person is off the list.
Well, he was on
Absolutely
my
right.
list. He was on my list.
Yeah, and he should be off it. There's a lovely couple, Joe and Teresa Pellegrino, who sell programs as you go in the capstan at the top of the stairs there, outside the entrance of the
Yes.
pub. They have been doing it forever and a day. And they're the kind of people that have struggled, and obviously I used to help out with the programs as well, so I know all the different struggles that they've had to deal with. They, I think, would be the, in terms of like an unsung hero type scenario. There would definitely be people that should be receiving some kind of acclaim, I think.
And I know there's a lot of other people that work behind the scenes. Obviously, this is the Mandy Award, and both Mandys that we know who work behind the scenes do incredible work there, and which is phenomenal. And they are keeping up doing their stuff. I mean, I think where Mandy's been really good at in the past is sorting out tickets to cup games and things like that. But we decided this season not to deal with the cups. So that's sorry, Mandy. I know if that had happened, you'd have been completely on it again. So if anyone else is thinking of any other unsung heroes to win our Mandy Award, the Club Person of the Year, then let us know as well. So we'll put up our categories in our links here, so you can nominate some people as well.
Are we going to be able to organise that in time to give them out after the Plymouth game? Because that seems like the one
No,
time the whole squad's going
no,
to be around.
no, Mark. We're not doing it at the Plymouth game. Do you know when we're doing it for? We're doing it for the Huddersfield game, which is the last game of the season. That's when we're doing our awards. We do our awards on the last game of the season. And then, do you know what? Do you know what, people? If there is a better goal than the one that's up there, we'll do another award as well for goal of the season, for what should have been goal of the season, for the goals that happen between now and the end of the season, because obviously, for whatever reason, I don't think we're going to score anything better. But still, we might give out a special goal of the season award.
Am I allowed to mention our friend the PPG Profit?
Yeah, mate, you can. Yeah, please do, because from what I'm aware is every week we do the podcast, you mention the PPG, the profit, and I think
It does.
our points total and final position seems to go down on a weekly basis.
It does clearly, because unfortunately we are in the worst run of form possible, as we've got four defeats and one draw in the last five games. However, the reason I wanted to mention it is because, and now of course I can't find it, it still predicts that we're going to stay up, basically, in simple terms. It still predicts we're going to stay up. It predicts that we're going to have 54 points. I've looked at it already.
54 points.
And it predicts that Exeter will be the fourth team to go down. And they're going to have 50 points, but apparently, because we're going to have 54, we're going to be fine. So, yeah, that's all I was just generally going to mention on that one. It should absolutely be fine overall, even though we're not really in any way showing
And
any
what happens if we don't get
particular.
any more points?
Then it's goal difference, I suppose, isn't it? You know.
Oh, my word.
Interesting that since the turn of the season, turn of the year, the table again is relatively similar to, in most respects, to the actual table in terms of how games played since the 1st of January, and results. However, the one snag though is that Plymouth Argyle have managed to win 11 out of 18 games since the beginning of January, and we still have to play them. They're only second to Lincoln. We're about 17th, 18th in that table as well, so that's fine. And Exeter are below us, and Burton are below us, and Wigan are below us, and we've still got to play Burton and Wigan, haven't we? So,
Yeah.
okay, yeah, I found it. It says we're going to finish 18th with 54 points, Blackpool 19th with 54. Apparently, we're going to finish above them on goal difference. Burton 20th with 53, and Exeter go down with the three we already believe are going to go down anyway, Rotherham, Northampton, and Port Vale.
Well, we can butt hope. I
Let's
mean,
see how that changes after the game
yeah.
next week.
I mean, I think we've just got to hope that we're getting some players back, and it's a really important game, but I don't think we should be playing with fear either. But maybe not our full gung ho approach that we have been adopting over the last few games. Anyhow, I'm gonna draw this somber pod to a close. Hope, dear listener, it's picked up a little bit. I think it's just made us all a bit more depressed. Thank you very much to mon frère Niall Cooper. If you could see his face, it just says a thousand words. To our producer Adam Proctor, who's got the horrendous job of editing it and getting this out. To our man with all the footballing knowledge, Mr. Tall Mark Lewis, thank you. I'm Matt Cooper. We're the same old sulky wobbles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth if we